Welcome to the HS Innkeepers Podcast. We're glad you found your way here.
And welcome to the Innkeepers Podcast. We are a podcast for innkeepers covering Hearthstone's fireside gatherings. With insight and information, we hope all of our fellow innkeepers find useful. I'm Avantes from Knoxville, Tennessee.
I am Root from Orlando, Florida.
And I'm Hillary from Halifax in Canada. And joining us tonight is our very good friend, a very special guest. We have Ben Reddington from Wichita in Kansas.
Hello, thanks for having me, guys.
It is our pleasure. Coming up here in episode number 23 of the Innkeepers Podcast, we, of course, have all of our news, all of our shares, and our spotlights, and then we're going to take a dive into our extended community, the Makerspace Edition.
And don't forget, as always, check out firesidegatherings.com to make sure that your Fireside Gathering is listed and publicly viewable, and check out hsinkeepers.com for resources made by Innkeepers for Innkeepers.
That's right. Marspad chat has it right. Dad legend in the house.
That is true. Dad legend is in the house. So, Avantes, was there any kind of news?
News?
Today?
I hadn't really heard anything.
Kind of stagnant, a little stale in their front.
This not quite as cool guy named Ben than the one we have a much cooler Ben on the show. This other guy named Ben. Some guy, I don't know who he is, but he put out a video today talking about something about the Year of the Raven. So we are wrapping up the Year of the Mammoth and turning over into the Year of the Raven. And from everything I've seen on Twitter, Raven and Soddle are going to be, inconsolable casting this year. Raven's already saying it's the year of me. But what does that mean? Yeah, he's not wrong. But what does that mean for us as innkeepers? Well, one of the big announcements was we are finally going to get in-game tournament mode. This has been long asked for, and it's finally going to be here. So basically what that means for us is that starting late next month, they will begin beta testing the in-game client. What you will be able to do is schedule a tournament, send out invites to players, and let the in-game client handle all of the matchmaking and all of the bracketing systems. And then all you have to do is admin the tournament as you normally would. That's about all we know at this point. They've not revealed a whole lot of other information about it at this time. Like I said, we just know that they are planning. Or I'm sorry, I said the middle of next month. It's the middle of this year. So it could be June, July, August, somewhere in that range. We don't know yet, but
Soon, TM.
Blizzard soon. We will...
another announcement of an announcement.
Exactly. what Blizzard does best. So, keep your ear to the ground. We will obviously let you know if we hear anything as soon as we hear anything and pass that information along. Let's see. Besides that, hope you guys got your THQs scheduled by last Thursday, because we are officially outside of the time frame for season one. They will be wrapping up season one this coming Sunday, March the 4th. So hope you guys got all that taken care of. Aliri, what do you have for our top share of the week?
Well, the share of the week has to go to Jesse, because although I haven't had time to read through everything yet, been pretty preoccupied today, all the announcements and everything, I did happen to notice that Jesse posted the announcement for the Year of the Raven for that information post before he posted it in any of the other Innkeeper channels. Now, I'm not saying the Discord server is his favorite. I'm just saying that's his go-to. So shout out to Jesse for, you know, that being his first stop to share the news. So of course, it's going to be that. And with that, there is also the video that came out through Bren Bro today explaining Year of the Raven and tournament mode. And if you exclamation point Raven vid in chat, you can get linked to that video. And at any time, if you want to bring up the announcement article for the Year of the Raven, you can exclamation point Raven as well. And we'll probably keep those active for a while, a few weeks at least on the podcast. So if you know, if you're not joining us live tonight, if you do in the future, there those links will be active for you as well.
There you go. All right, so that brings us to our new Innkeeper Spotlight. And this week, we are talking about Pharaoh from Berlin, Germany. He says, "Hello, I've just started hosting fireside gatherings for people in Berlin 2 weeks ago. And today is, slash was, the second one. The location is an arcade center, so it fits in perfectly with the fireside gathering. Has actually been included as part of a regularly scheduled event now, so I hope the community will grow soon." So, welcome to the group. We are glad to have you and glad to see you've already hosted your second event. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is great. And Faro, you are in the right spot, my friend. So, yeah, welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome.
So, with all of that said, I guess Illyria and I are done for the night as we're going to turn the show over to Root and Ben.
Okay, bye.
I am the emoji with the zipper for a mouth. I'm going to zip my clothes, open up my ears, and listen to you guys.
That's right, because they
about your geekdom.
These two guys have a lot of great information to pass along tonight. So, if you're listening, this is for you. Listen up. Root, take it away.
So we often say that the community is what makes innkeeping as rewarding as it is. However, we need to remember to look into our extended community and learn to use the resources that we may have available to us. Look, seriously, we can't all be bites, but with some help, we could be a little nibble.
Oh my God, sorry, real quick. Is he gonna make a raven like he made a volcano? Do you think he'll actually make like a flying drone bird or something?
Yes, yes. Just leave it at that.
Quick segue there.
Let's now that you've given him the idea, yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. So tonight, Ben and I are going to be talking about makerspaces. Now, a makerspace is just a place where people with shared interest, like in computing or technology or woodworking, electronics, machinery, 3D printing, laser engraving, they all get together and they work on projects. They share ideas, they share equipment, and they share knowledge. And when you look at this extended community, you get involved with this extended community, you can do all kinds of stuff, and Ben, chime in here anytime, but I went through some of the stuff that we make here and our pricing on it. Embroidered hats, and I should have worn it, but I've got one over here. The hats cost $2 a piece on Amazon. They're blanks, and we have an embroidery machine I'll show you here in a minute that we put our logos on, so you can put your fireside logo on it. You can do laser and get etched glassware. Ben's got some great examples of that glassware. We can do wood. You can do logo. You can do keychains. Here's one. We just they're doing keychains right now. I don't know if this is even going to come up on the there or not, but there it is. They're doing some keychains over here right now on the laser engraver. You can do 3D printed stuff. I've got some 3D printers running behind me right now. There's tons of LED signage, which is off right now because it gives me an epileptic seizure because it flashes all the time. It's kind of crazy. Screen printed t-shirts. The t-shirts are under $2 a shirt. A screen will cost you about $30. The paint's $8 a gallon, I think, and it lasts for a heck of a long time. And you can just make tons of shirts. This is what I have on is a screen printed shirt, and it's fantastic. You can do large format printing with, you know, either vinyl cutters or banners or whatever the case might be. Now, the cool thing about being in a makerspace, I heard a question I'll come back to in just a sec, is the ideas flow naturally from people around you. The stuff that you hadn't thought of, somebody else will think of, and they'll see your idea and they'll go, "That's a great idea. Have you thought of this?" And they're going to take it to the next level. Now, who had a question? Who was going to pipe up?
Oh, it was me. I was just going to
Okay.
chime in with like same sentiment. You know, the pricing is going to vary from makerspace to makerspace, but you definitely have usually the cost besides like a membership, if there is one, would just be your hard costs. So like you would pay like for the embroidery machine, you're going to pay for the thread. So, you know, like you would pay minimal for that. The glassware and things like that, you're bringing in your own glasses. So you're paying
a dollar a piece at Dollar Tree.
Well, I bought cases of glasses online. So I paid a little bit more, but I got my cost per glass to about 25 cents a glass.
Oh, wow.
And my mugs are about $4 about $2.25 a piece for like an actual like stein, like a nice mug. And I have some photos of it. I don't know the easiest way to show them, but we've kind of had I've helped other people out. I've helped Sam in Kansas City with some projects. One I was going to share right now is like typical of like a laser etch machine. These are Jenga pieces. So what Sam did for the summer championship in LA was he asked if he bought a blank set, could I actually etch into the edges? So on each side of the piece, I have the ranking like you would on ladder. So this is piece number 9. You start and the game starts at 25 and goes to 1, and you have to pull out that Jenga piece. So there are two pieces to go from.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I bought a blank Jenga set off of Amazon for about $9. I then locked it up with clamps and laser etched into the edge on both sides the design and etched into it. And then I supplied Sam with a copy of it. And then since I was testing it, I went ahead and bought myself a couple of them and tried it as well. So now I have like a Hearthstone Jenga set. And I think the coolest part about that was I was able to help out another a fellow innkeeper, and then as a reward for it, it was like in the middle of the night, because I'm central time and he was in PST, he's like, hey, Purple, Kibler and his wife and Kibler's wife were all playing your Jenga game.
Oh,
like,
how fun.
That's
is that?
Pretty sweet, you know, because he had the different stations set up and different activities. So it was a brainchild of Sam. I mean, Sam's the one who was like, hey, you know, can this be done? And luckily I had, you know, the capabilities with the makerspace that's here in Wichita. Well, one of the two spaces here in Wichita. So yeah, it's really like the only thing that limits you is like what you can think of type of thing. Cause like you can find a way to do it. And again, I don't know how well this is going to show up, but I did my tavern sign. It's like super small. It's only like 5.5 inches tall. I'm trying to get it at an angle so you can see the depth of it, but it's like quarter inch, just quarter inch wood, and I was able to etch and then laser cut out the shape of the sign. So there is a little bit of a learning curve to some of this stuff. So you kind of have to have a kind of like a tinkering mentality. Is just reminds me of like, you know, getting Legos instead of just following the instructions. You just kind of try to make your own thing. So you kind of build on that. You kind of have to have a little bit of that experimental, and you're going to fail and you're going to learn from those mistakes, and then you'll figure it out, and then you'll know the settings of the machines and things like that. Because it's not you just walk up into a makerspace and you say, hey, I want to do this. They'll teach you the machines and how they operate, but you have to execute it. So, you know, if you
right,
want
they're not there to take orders.
Yeah. And if you want that, then, you know, you'd go to like a sign shop or an engraving shop and they'd etch the glasses for you, or, you know, your time obviously has a value to it, but when you're able to create things and create value for your community in this way, you know, you evaluate your time versus money in that regard.
So I came by here, I moved while Ben was talking. I'm over by our embroidery machine now. And good night, guys. These are some of the hats we get, blank hats, nothing on them. And then we start testing. Oh, wow, this one's actually on the big old machine that it goes on, that clanks it on there. And this is one of our test ones where we get to test
those are called different patterns.
Well, you know, I call it the big clank thing.
I actually used to have an embroidery machine, so yeah.
Well, thank you for correcting me on the hoop thing. So that's cool. I do know that people have cut their hands on this one already, so I'm being very, very cautious about it. And then we've got, I mean, we have a ton of these hats. Here's one of the finished product is right here. This is our Makerspace logo is on it for us here. And we get, you know, these cool hats that we give out to all the people who are involved in the outreach programs here at the Makerspace. When we got this giant machine back here, it wasn't working. And it took the combined brain power of the folks here about a month to get it working with all kinds of strange directions and documentation in Portuguese because we couldn't find anything in English. It took the original company that long to find the actual documentation for this machine. It runs on a floppy disk. That was hard to find, too. So luckily it's 1.44. It's not 5 1/4, but and we have a USB. I actually had the USB floppy drive. We were able to get it up and running. Yeah, of course I did. Somebody has to have one, right?
I was like, if anyone has that.
It's funny, the embroidery machine that I had, I bought it in 95. It was like $30,000. And it ran on a 1 1/4 or a 1.44-inch floppy as well. So I know exactly because by about 2000, I was having a hard time finding floppy disks for that machine. So, yeah.
That's how it works, always.
Yeah.
So when did 3 1/2-inch floppy disk get renamed to the size of the megabytes? When did that happen? When did I miss that?
I don't know.
Come on, nerds. So, I'm kidding.
So here's one of the things that I'm starting to work on. I'm going to be making little puzzle boxes for our groups here, and it'll have our logos on it, so they can get the six pieces to the cube, six sides, six sides, and figure out how to put it together. This is another cool thing we're going to be doing with maps. I mean, it is on there. Okay, I always get lost, so I can see myself through. Hi guys. So we're using different types of etching for that. There's just so many things that you can do to Makerspace. There's an entire woodworking shop behind me with CNC routers and all kinds of stuff. But as Ben said, you don't have to know everything, but you have to be willing to extend yourself and open yourself up to a community and explain to them what you want. Be willing to learn. Be willing to take those extra steps that take the time to learn. And more importantly, take the time to make the mistakes because you're not going to get it perfect on the first time out. You're not going to walk in and print something and go, oh, there, it's done. It's fantastic. I never have to come back. No, you're going to spend the time. You're going to do it time and time again and plan for the failure, plan for the mistake, plan for the iterations of it to get it to be where you want it to be. And then you get there. Here's this mug. Check this mug out. Oh, this is the hard one to do. It's a big old beer mug. It says, I drink and know things.
Nice.
You would see. So we can do you name it, tumblers, all this stuff you can do. And what I want to impress on you, it's not free, but your cost is going to be limited by the fact that you're providing the materials, and you can get the materials like Ben saying he got his way down to 25 cents a glass because he bought bulk or wholesale. You have to factor in the cost of your membership, which is going to range anywhere from, you know, 50 US to 150 US per month. And you have to factor in the time of the cost of your time. But once you've got all those in there, you still tend to come out ahead. There's other ways also when you are working with a Makerspace of giving of your time, just as we give of our time as innkeepers. You can give us your time volunteering for different outreach events that your Makerspace may have, hosting a class. That you may be good at, I don't know, like Avanti's. I didn't know you used to run an embroidery machine. Avanti's could go give a class on running an embroidery machine and offset his cost. Maybe he gets free thread for doing that. Now his hats cost him $2 and no thread. So there's a lot of things you can do on that. We're building cars. There's this cool, it's bizarre. There's this cool thing called power racing, which are they basically take, you know, those like little battery-operated cars. Ben, you probably have some for your kids, maybe.
Yes, we do. We have a collection of you know, different remote controlled cars and things of that nature. Well,
I'm talking ones, but the ones they sit in.
Oh, yeah. Power wheels. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So you take power wheels and now we're doing power racing where you're actually modifying that power wheel car to do 25, 35 miles an hour on a racetrack.
Like and a adults go-kart? Are
like a go-kart, but you have constraints to weight and a bunch of other stuff you have to stay in. So it's it is a ton of fun. I think we have a video that we're going to show of Ben's makerspace, and I'm going to try to move over to another spot while we're doing that. Are we ready for that video, Avantes?
Yeah, I think we are. And then bear with me after the video. I'm going to switch over to another screen. I'm going to try to show some images that Ben has. And basically, all you'll see on the screen will be the images. I'll just kind of let Ben talk about what they are and how they were done. So, all right.
Perfect.
Video incoming. So that was GoCreate, which is your makerspace, right?
Correct. So GoCreate is a makerspace in Wichita, Kansas. There's also a like an ICT maker group as well that's very popular. We have an innovation campus on our on the WSU campus here in Wichita, and we have like an experimental engineering building, as well as a makerspace that's sponsored by like a Coke Industries collaboration. So there is a fee to be a member of the space, but yet there are scholarship opportunities and community grants. And if you present a proposal, they will say yay or nay and actually sign off, and you can get like a 6 month or 1 year membership for free. Wow. So there are really good opportunities in that regard. So, because I think if not, I think it's about like, it's like, I want to say between like $50 and $100 a month, something of that nature. But if you, I mean, you can be there from like 9 a.m. to midnight, you could knock out a lot of stuff in a month if you, you know, if you really wanted to just kind of go all in. So some of the projects I've done there, and Avantes has these up on the screen, is these were some glasses I did for a Wichita Esports convention at the beginning of February. And I did the Wichita Esports logo on one side of the glass and then the ICT Firesides logo on the other side of the glass. So not only am I trying to put on events, but I'm also trying to create a brand around my Firesides and trying to raise that up with merchandise and things of that nature. So something like these glasses, where you can get them for as cheap as a dollar or even less, they work great as a prize to hand out. Also earlier, Rue was talking about oversized printing. Not only do we have oversized printing and the capability to, it's called plot cut, which would be like die cut, or it uses a shape and says, okay, these are the edges, so it cuts it out. Well, this is cut vinyl, so you can take 24-inch vinyl and you can cut out any shape or any text you want. Given it does use like a small like fine tip razor blade essentially to cut out the shapes, so your contours of some of your circles and things like that can be difficult. you mask it with a masking tape, and then these are like vinyl decals that you could purchase or sell or something of that nature. So with the Dad Legend Hearthstone group and things of that nature, when someone orders a shirt and I print it myself, I throw in some stickers and kind of as little swag to, you know, continue the brand in that regard.
That's really cool. Real quick, just on the printing stuff. Sure. For the last big event that I had, I, at my work, we have one of the laser etching printers to make decals. I swear it's like Berenstein Bears. Like, it was always decal, and then all of a sudden it's decal. I'm not sure what it is now. But with those, I got a bunch of the Hearthstone swirl cut out on just plain blue acrylic vinyl, and just stuck those onto the gift boxes. And it was like a really simple way to like really make the gift box special. And also just with like printing like stickers, you can get a isolated image of your tavern sign. So I have stickers of my tavern sign now as well. So just along that kind of train of thought, you can really brand your events with, you know, your tavern logo, which is just really fun to see. So it's very cool stuff. I like the stuff you do with the glasses. I see you posting it. I'm like, oh gosh, that looks so cool. Like where it's frosted, it looks really good.
I'm not real sure what's going on. I can't get these other images to open.
Oh, you're fine. So, and we can go, it's okay if we want to go back to, I guess just the cam, because I can, I have some glasses in front of me that I can show.
Okay.
So, like, you were talking about, like, the proof or, like, the C1 or whatever. So, this is a glass, unlike a hat, that I've just etched over it in numerous places for, like, my test. Because one thing you don't think about with a glass is, obviously, the top, this circle, is wider than this point. So, like, the logo right now looks squinty and kind of flat. Sorry, you can't see it. So in turn, like this bottom needs to be pushed out. So you actually have to arc like your file and make it wrap around the contour of what the glass would be. So instead of it being like this, you actually take your file and you push out those points and arch it so that when it prints on a cylinder, you know, it's different widths because it's printing. It's printing flat like this and like as flat as you can get this surface here and is rotating around. So when you have like a horizontal logo like this, it prints nice because it's a smaller height. You're not trying to print over 3 or 4 inches of the glass. So there are different things you kind of have to take into context when doing something like that.
Yeah. The trick we do here, we put tape over it and then etch at a lighter we're looking for intensity, so sure. We actually don't burn through, we mark up, but we don't etch through the tape. Then you get it right where you want it, you take the tape off. And I did a mason jar with our Florida Fireside logo on it. There we go. I put that up on one of the social medias the other day. That was a ton of fun to do. Because again, you're doing the math, and you know, I told people, look, I'm a podcaster. I don't do math, but that's why they're here, because they're smarter than me.
But yeah, so like in our maker space, they also have 3D printers as well. We have three different sizes of MakerBot printers, from like small, medium, and large. The large ones can fit, I believe, up to like 14 to 17 inches in height. And, you know, some of those prints, and I know Root can attest to this because he just did a nice Hearthstone trophy that could take, you know, 30 to 40 hours. So with those prints, the same thing. The only charge that I'm charged is that material cost. So I'm charged for the filament, which is, I think it's like 13 cents an ounce or something like that. So like a Hearthstone trophy, depending on the size, like 4 to 6 inches, something of that nature would probably cost me about, I don't know. I mean, it's probably like $15, $20, mm-hmm. somewhere in that range, maybe a little less. And then in our design side, they have CAD and like Wacom tablets. So you can fully design in 3D. Part of it being connected to that experimental engineering building, a lot of people will come over and they need like a part or like a tooling for like one thing. So they'll 3D model it and print it out. So instead of them trying to cast and pour like, you know, pour metal and like make the piece, they can 3D print it for, you know, dollars instead of hundreds of dollars. They also offer like electronics, so anything from like soldering and like kind of like just anything. I mean, kind of in the same vein of like what Bytes was doing, I guess, with the volcano, like that would be a resource where you could learn to how like circuitry works and connecting different transistors and resistors and batteries and, you know, all of that type of side of it. They have a full metals workshop, so everything from, you know, plasma cutters and different type of MIG and different types of welders to like actually water jet like cutting out of metal and like fabrication. You can completely take pipes and bend them to what you want them to be, and, you know, things like that, which I've taken welding classes and stuff for like a 3D studio, and that's about my extent with metals. The wood shop is definitely a lot of fun. You know, you have table saws, routers, band saws, you know, any and everything you can think of that you would need for a wood shop, like lathes, you can like planers and joiners and all of that type of stuff. So I can bring in my material, cut it down there, and then go over to the laser engraver, which is like a 36 inch width, and etch and engrave and handle it all in one, like in one shop. So, And then I guess the most unique thing, and it's kind of hard to explain, is they have, it's called a fogger. It's a foam machine. So it will take 4x8 blocks of foam. Like, I guess the easiest way would be like material that you see in packaging. So like when you get a new TV, it has like the foam ends on it, that styrofoam. They can actually, so you can take these big 4x8 sheets and like with the 3D scanner or something like that, like this instance was something they've done is someone had a planner outside of like a, we have a Frank Lloyd Wright home here in Wichita, and one of the planters was broken. So they made a 3D mold of it and casted it and out of this foam. And then they used that foam, like I was saying earlier with the metals, like making a die and a jig, and they actually poured the concrete and made a mold of the planter box and recreated it using foam as a material instead of metal, or building like a wood jig or something like that to build it out. So it's one of the, it sounds really kind of strange and unique. It has definitely a unique skill set and like purpose, but it's just another tool that's there. So
sounds like we're doing a Taken commercial. I have a certain skill set.
Yeah. I have a tool that no one uses.
We've got those. I don't know what half the tools are in this place are, but this tool exists to fix that machine's tool to fix it. So before we get into some questions, I do want to give like a little bit, one of the things I want to say is, one of the things we print, or I print, on a routine basis are these itty bitty little hearthstones. They're so cute. They're so adorable. And we give them away. People love these. These are stuff we give away as, you know, hey, you answered the trivia question, right? Or you were the 13th person to show up, who knows what, have a hearthstone. Sometimes we'll put them on the table. Sometimes we put them in gift bags. We'll print them larger. This is one I haven't even finished and painted yet, so we'll print them larger. We've got, I'm going to take you off here and give you the cruise. Don't get motion sickness. Please don't. Please don't. We have like our boom bots. They're here. Those guys, they need to be finished. They've been prepped and ready to be finished. I know O'Leary loves the boom bots.
They're adorable.
All about the boom bots.
They're so cute.
Some of the hearthstones I was just mentioning, they're over here. The trophies that we give out, we do our own hearthstone trophies. And then next to that, down we go here, the trophies are now starting to morph. I was doing a hearthstone light-up lamp, And that has now morphed into a Hearthstone light-up trophy. So these are USB-powered, and the swirl lights up. If I could turn the lights off in here, I would. So you can see
them. See, this is where I go, it's so adorable!
So I love the lights up.
This was the print. Cool. This was the 30-hour print Ben was talking about. So that's a 30 hours worth of a print, and then another day to paint and finish and everything else. So there is just an absolute... But the beauty of it is, you're limited by your imagination and budget, to be honest. 3D printing, the materials, they're not that expensive, but you have an incredible time investment in it. And if something goes wrong, that time, you usually can't get it back. It fails spectacularly. It's amazing when it fails. It's like spaghetti when it does fail. So, but I, you know, one of the beauties of it is Ben will be posting stuff in channel when he's doing stuff, and I'm like, oh, that looks so cool, I want to do that. And then I'll post something, and I get something from Ben, goes, oh, that looks so cool, I'm gonna do that. And so Ben and I live in this weird world where we're just trying to, you know, we get inspired by each other, and it's pretty cool to do, because he'll like, he's got his tavern logo. I've got the artwork for it, but I'm not well versed enough on our laser etcher yet to do it. I'll get there soon. So that was next on my list, or to use their CNC router for it, one of the two. So yeah, just so much to do. So we're gonna open the floor up for questions from you guys now, and we will do our best to answer them.
All right. So we do have some questions. First up, and I think we kind of talked about this a little bit while you guys were going in, but most makerspaces are not necessarily all going to be the same, correct?
No. In fact, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find two that are alike. I don't know about the culture up from Ben's, but here in Orlando, we have three distinct makerspaces. There is one on the east side of town that is called Famalab, which I would consider more of a hacker space than a makerspace. They tend to hack things together, figure stuff out, do a lot of coding, that kind of thing. Then we have one in the middle of downtown that's called Factor. And Factor is more designed around the startup community. So if you have a startup and you are looking for material building on your startup, then they're the place to go. And then we have Maker Effects, which is where we're at tonight. And we're more involved in outreach and community building and education, and putting on events. So that's kind of our shtick here. I don't know of how, I know Ben, you have at least two maker spaces in your area. Are the cultures the same in each?
No, they're definitely a little different. The one that I go, or the one that I attend or go to, is probably more of that, like that entrepreneurship mentality, where the other one is a little bit more grassroots, kind of the DIY, hacker like style that you mentioned. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I think I gravitate towards that, but due to like my accessibility and things like that with the other space, that's kind of where I've kind of, you know, used those tools and grown in that regard. Like kind of in a similar vein, like it was the beginning of last year, I built essentially a RetroPie connected to like an IO board that was connected to like Sanyo buttons and joysticks, and made like a MAME cabinet and did all the wiring of the buttons. And like, I know we couldn't get to some of those photos, but like I have my own like screen printing setup at my home, and, you know, different ways that I can print shirts in multiple colors and, burn my own film and stuff like that. So I've always like had little passion projects, and this is definitely being able to group this hobbyist mentality with being an innkeeper and, you know, building out resources has been phenomenal in that regard. So, yeah.
Awesome. Next question we kind of already covered, Ben, I think you mentioned this, the, costs for hackerspaces varies between, you know, anywhere from, like, I know my local hackerspace runs about $50 a month for membership, but, you know, I think you set up to as much as $150 a month, just depending on when and where and what's available.
Yeah, so, like, our Make ICT, which is the other one, is $25 a month and up to, it's not even really, I guess it's prorated. Yeah, so it's $25 a month, $150 for, sorry, I'm doing math. It's not prorated. It's just $25 a month.
Oh, wow.
But they have kind of, they have like a, they're linked up with like a dev ICT group and things like that. So they do everything from like, you know, bicycle repair to ceramics to fabrication, metals, printmakings, and textiles. So they would do as well, like screen printing and things like that, but even like linoleum cut block print and things like that. So it's completely different kind of, it's more of that hobbyist mentality, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. O'Leary, do you want to ask question number three?
Oh, sorry. I have a question of my own. If I
can. Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Sure.
So these do seem like, you know, community spaces, and the, you know, the idea wouldn't be necessarily to, like, you wouldn't benefit and gain as much if you just kind of go in for a month and then do what you need to do and leave. Like, ideally, you're going in and at least, like, kind of learning for a little while, kind of like that Tink mentality you mentioned, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, you know, like, myself at least, you know, I would probably look at going for like 2 or 3 months, really learning as much as I can and developing the things I want to make. But then, you know, if I'm not running an event for a month or two, like, do these places, and I know it might be different, but I guess with your spaces, is it easy to kind of be a member for a month and then not be for a couple months and then just come back when you're more busy with events? Like, I'm thinking winter as well. The number of events I'm running just drastically drops because of snow and weather. Do you think that that kind of thing is, you know, acceptable, or like, is it kind of, you know, once you're in, you're kind of, to maintain being a part of that community, you know, you really should be kind of sticking to the monthly membership kind of deal?
So I think the answer to that question is a little bit of, I think once you're in and once you join, you don't want to leave, because it's not that you're busy and it's not that you have too much to do. It's that there's so much opportunity to things to do and things you'll want to do. And it's not just your gaming community. I mean, when you get into it, you find out that, for instance, I'm back here now at our t-shirt making location. Ooh, I almost fell backwards, and that would have been funny to do on cam. And so when I came back here to our screen printing, the night I came back here, we were printing some shirts for an event. I had never touched a screen printer before. I get back here with one other guy who was doing it. He takes 2 minutes to show me what to do and then walks off and leaves me making t-shirts. And I never made t-shirts before. So yes, you're right, it's a community thing. But once you get involved with it, it's like anything else. You're not going to leave. You're not going to want to leave. And so to answer your question, no, don't do it for a month. If that's all you can do, by all means, it's worth it. But you'll find out that you're going to get more involved with the community here than you would think. It's because it just it brings you in.
It's almost like the Innkeeper Discord, the people that wanted to run a NEMZI event.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to run NEMZI. And now they're still here. They're going, this stuff is so fun. I had no idea. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But now I will ask question three.
All right.
So where do all the designs come from? You know, you guys have definitely touched a lot of different bases, from glassware to linens with the t-shirts and the hats. You know, do these spaces offer designs, or is it communicating with people there, or do you get them online? Is it a combination? Is it something I haven't mentioned?
It's a combination. Yeah. I'll let Ben answer, but I will tell you there is a website called Thingiverse, much like Universe, but Thingiverse.
Oh.
And Thingiverse for 3D printing has just about everything you can possibly think of as far as designs go. However, that's a start. You need to be able to understand how to manipulate that 3D design, how to make changes to it, how to make it fit your needs. Once you've taken past the first step of printing stuff on a 3D printer, then you know you're on your you kind of venture out on your own. For other things, once you have artwork, I am horrible at Illustrator, but if you don't know Illustrator, take an Illustrator class and get really good at Adobe Illustrator, because a lot of the hardware to convert a design starts in Illustrator. And Ben's probably, you know, super Illustrator dude.
This is true. No, I'm kidding. Yes, like the card backs and things like that I do. I essentially take the image and I paste it into Illustrator into a layer, and I make it semi, like I change the opacity so that I can essentially trace on top of it, and I redraw with the pen tool and redraw the card back, and that's how I create like the coloring sheets, and I do that in Illustrator. So
secrets out.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I do. I mean, I go like point by point and redraw the curves and, you know, everything like that. So I have a nice file for that. But yeah, I work a lot in being a graphic designer. I work in Creative Suite all the time. As far as resources, you know, there are a lot of tools and there are a lot of things available online. It kind of gets into some of our questions later on about, you know, like selling different IPs and things of that nature. With it being something that I'm not monetarily like being compensated for or charging for, like even though I'm using like a logo or something of that nature, or even like the Fireside Gatherings Tavern, you know, I don't own the artwork to it. I selected those, you know, my crest and my shield and all of that type of stuff. Since I'm not charging for that, I don't really worry about that. But there are a lot of tools and a lot of resources online. There are people in our makerspace, you know, if I'm there and someone has a question about Illustrator or of all things, some of the machines actually require like CorelDRAW, which is kind of whatever. So we'll open
it
up like...
CorelDRAW?
CorelDRAW. Yeah.
It's a different program from like the 80s.
That was the application I did all of my silk screen printing in back in the 90s. So
I think you had to install it on a 3.5 inch floppy.
Well, okay, while we're on the floppy disk, just real quick, cuz after we like moved on earlier, I was like, I shouldn't have mentioned this.
I don't ask what one is. I will
No, I was going to say we may
is
have
that
viewers
the save
who
emoji?
Don't know. But that's what I was going to say. Why is this a floppy disk still? Like, I haven't seen a floppy disk in, like, this millennium. No, that's an exaggeration. But
you broke Patrick. Still, Patrick is now dead.
Still people, like, well, not still people. There are people that do not know what a floppy disk is, but know it as a save icon. Like, don't these children wonder what that is? They just think it's an icon, and I feel like some people...
Patrick's giving up. He's gone. Show's done.
People life not knowing that that is a floppy disk. It's just the save icon. Are they ever going to change it? Like, is this, like, you know, words, like, never change, like, the borders? Like, do you remember that? Like, the borders you could get in Word files? And it was like, this is great. Can't wait for next year. They're still the same. Like, it hasn't changed.
What would they make it?
A cloud.
Cloud.
A cloud icon.
Which is the
internet. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
A cloud with a floppy in it. That'd be good.
Just a check mark. I don't know. But yeah, floppy disks.
All right. So before I feel any older than I already am, I'm going to move this along. And so let's say what Ben was just talking about. Can people use makerspaces for commercial projects?
Depends on the space. Some yes, some no. Ones that are designed, like I'm pretty sure the one Ben is in, that deal with more of the entrepreneurs, entrepreneurial spirit and that kind of thing, they don't mind. Our space here, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of a gray area. If you're trying to get your business started, then yeah, we'll help you out. but we are not designed as, hey, we're not free material, we're not free labor, we're not free equipment. So if you're here to turn a profit, it's probably going to ask
But if you're providing all of your materials and you're just coming in there to use, say, the laser etcher, and then you're turning around and selling those items, how does that?
It's one of those little gray areas. I mean, if you don't draw attention to yourself, people might still notice because the amount of stuff you're printing is always the same in a laser etcher or something.
That's the guy with the 20 hearthstones on the table next to him.
So, to give his credit, he's not using the makerspace to make his hearthstones. He now has numerous 3D printers that watches via cam.
Yes.
I follow this guy. And No. Jealous. Not mad.
You should do a live stream feed on Twitter of like a Hearthstone build. That would be fun.
Actually, I have a YouTube plugin. It'd be on YouTube, but I could do a YouTube.
That would be fun.
So just so you know, Ben, I'm actually picking up another printer tomorrow. It'll be my third. So anyhow. Wow. Yeah, this one's cool. This one is a dual extruder, which means I can print with two filament colors at the same time.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's going to whole new level.
I think we've already kind of answered the next question, which was, are there people to show you how to do things? And we talked about earlier that, you know, usually people show you how to use the machine and then kind of let you go off on your own.
I didn't really go into it, and I'll keep it short. There is a general safety class that you have to pass when you walk into the makerspace and after you sign up for your membership, before you can use any of the equipment. I actually have a magnetic badge, so all of the rooms, besides the designs area, which would just be where the 3D printers are and things like that, they're like one of the lower levels. It's like a level one or level two. As you get into the wood shop or the metal shop or the textiles areas, you have to buzz into those rooms and they require a different level of training. So if your badge isn't coded to those rooms, you can't go into them for safety precautions. So I've gone through like the direct garment printing. I've gone through the embroidery classes. I've gone through the woodworking classes, the metals fabrication, as well as then they get into technical, like you can actually go for, not only do they have like these safety classes, the vinyl oversized printer, the laser, things like that, you can go in for like a workshop. So you can go in and pay a fee. Like they did one for Valentine's Day. They did like a couple's like etched wine glasses and some little romantic thing type of thing. And they've been, the makerspace has been at like bridal fairs and outdoor fairs, because you can you can make a fire pit ring. Like you could weld, you could take sheet metal and cut out your design on two different ends, which would allow air to go into. I know Avanti's built a fire pit recently. Like it would allow air to come in, and you could have, you know, your logo or like your, you know, kind of like a brand. If you know, I'm here in the Midwest, like you would have your own thing cut out of metal, and you could, you know, you could do that there. So they're showing off their skills.
Brand your castle with your tavern logo is what you're telling me.
I'm telling you, we could make a brand and you could brand cattle. Yeah. But there's just different ways. So I wanted to stress the point that we didn't really talk about is there are training classes, and they will, in those training classes, like the general safety class was 45 minutes, and it was essentially the same rules. It's like, if you don't know what it is, don't touch it. You know what I mean? They're basic rules, but like they have to tell you on every machine. And, you know, the direct garment printer, you have to prep your shirt because it's essentially a print onto a shirt. So how do you get that ink to stick? Well, there's a chemical that you roll onto the, shirt, and you press it to, you know, so that it's just tacky, it's not wet and saturated. And anyway, you go through like the whole process, and then how to clean the print heads and how to adjust the waste toner cartridges and things like that. So it's very detailed, per piece of machinery, the processes and how it works. So they don't just, there are tendencies of like, hey, here's how to, you know, here's how to pull a squeegee across the screen. Good luck. And once you're done with the shirt, throw it on, you know, you throw it 350 degrees for a number of minutes or, you know, seconds, and your ink's dried and you're good to go. So.
Is someone listening to a Hearthstone stream? Because I hear Aura. No? Is that just somewhere on my PC playing?
Must be you.
It must be you.
But I haven't done anything. What is that? What is, I can hear it really faintly. I haven't.
You just want that Tespa card back really bad, don't you?
Yeah.
I have it. Thank you very much.
Well, so do I.
I worked on the Tespa Collegiate League years ago.
All right. I think we got a couple of questions to go. So what if I go in and I tell somebody, you know, this is what I want to do, and they're like, yeah, that's probably not worthwhile, not worth your time. What then?
So I haven't had that exact same thing happen. I had a project I wanted to do, a very small project, where I wanted to wire up an LED light for my printer. And so I could have better lighting for my camera. It's all good. And so I brought the materials here with me because I haven't soldered in forever. And I missed the last soldering class that we had here. So I was like, look, I just, you know, can someone just help me real quick, just make sure I don't mess this thing up. And I bring the design in, and a guy looks at the design and goes, oh, that's cute, but we can do this a lot better. And so it wasn't really making fun of my design, but it was like, okay, this is, I understand what you're trying to do. We can do this a lot better, a lot more efficient, and we can actually make this a lot safer than what you've designed. I'm like, oh, well, great, because I'm thinking, you know, it's an LED light. It needs power. I'm going to drive it from USB, so I need to put power here. And I was doing what's called a crossover at a certain point, but this guy redid it completely because that's what this guy does. He's an electrical engineer. So it wasn't that he thought my idea was not going to work. It would have worked, but the way he did it was much more elegant. And now I just need to have him repeat that process, because for me to learn, I have to do it over and over and over again. That's how I learn. And he did it so fast that night that I was just like, well, I have a light, but I don't know what you did. So, but I don't think really with the maker community, it's kind of like I reckon it a little bit like to the Hearthstone community. When I have someone come up to me and they're super excited about a play that they saw or a card that just got played or a match that they watched last night, I don't ridicule them for that. I think it's super cool that they're that into it. I get to enjoy that with them. In the same way where someone comes in here with this crazy cool idea, it's like, all right, yeah, let's make a Cookie Monster Power Racer card. That sounds like a phenomenal idea. Let's do it. And then, well, we did. We made a Cookie Monster Power Racer car.
Yeah, did you
did
see
it
the
go nom nom nom?
Did you see the Quest Druid from HCT Sydney? Oh my god!
That line of play, that has to be the best. Like, yeah, that just has to be the best play of the year.
I know.
I mean, obviously, but yeah, like the whole year, like, there's nothing. I don't know. It's a great play because he even messed up. He had to draw the chart because he messed. Oh, sorry, I'm already into it.
Finish it.
Just go. Just
no,
go
like
with
he killed both the charge minions. He killed Leroy and the Rocketeer. So he had to draw the charge Devil Sword from the Nourish to be able to complete the combo. Like, he messed up and still completed it with all the animations. And then Tiger Woods fist pump.
Yes. Like,
yes. Like, he was like, yes, and was done. Like, it was just there. And it was like, oh. I guess he got it. We saw the fist pump. And, like, Raven and, I think, Froden were both like, okay, like, we just did that. So
it was great. So, yeah. But, all right. So, what do you guys, how do you guys usually describe what a makerspace is to somebody who maybe thinks it's just a bunch of nerds hanging out over talking about nerdy things?
I say, what's wrong with that? What's your problem?
I invite him to Hearthstone.
Welcome to the Keeper
Discord
server. That's all it is.
I sum it up really easy. I don't know what Ben does, but mine's very simple. I say we make stuff, we break stuff, and we make it again.
Yeah, I don't have a, man, that's a slogan. I'm not that good.
Nice.
I'm just like, come with your ideas and like we'll figure it out type of thing. I mean, it's just Yeah, it's just a community-driven space that's helping each other out. So
yeah, we had another one. It was like from dreams to doodles to designs, but I was like, yeah, that's too cute. We make it, we break it, we make it again.
I like that. So how would people find out if there's a makerspace in their area?
You could Bing it. do people Bing things? Google.
What?
Google's your friend. Google your city name and just put makerspace, one word, behind that. Like Knoxville. I found one in Knoxville. I found one in Halifax. And Marspad, I found one in Calgary called Fuse 33 that's pretty cool.
Marspad is like there tomorrow. Yeah, you found one here. And honestly, I'm not surprised because Halifax is a very, like, there's it's lots of startups, lots of tech stuff. But I'm going to go check out that makerspace. It's like a 20, maybe 25-minute drive away from me. So, like, I'm excited to go see what kind it is. It's like, which one will it be? Is it going to be, you know?
open make knots in Knoxville are show knots from 6 to 9:30. So if I'm not on a show one knot, I'm probably there.
That's why. So let me explain that real quick since you mentioned it. He said open make nights. Each place calls it something a little different, but open make nights is pretty common. And that's where the general public is welcomed in. You don't have to have a membership to come hang out and actually get something made. There's a rule of thumb, don't overstay your welcome. Each place is different. Some places, like if you come back the fourth time, they'll say like, hey, you know, you've been here a month, why don't you join? It's time. Or if you're like, we've had a gentleman come here last couple times who's building this really cool balsa wood airplane. And it's like, that's really cool. And he's been here a lot. And we're like, hey, once you get to know them, you know by their name, you know what they're going to do. It's kind of like, okay, time to step up. But yeah, go check out what nights they have open. It doesn't cost anything to show up and just hang out. And so I know, Ben, you were talking earlier about you have the different badge IDs and the mag swipes and everything. We are going full FIRD here and RFID, rather. And I'm going to get chipped. I'm going to have a chip embedded in my thumb. And so you come in, you put your hand on doors, and if your RFID is chipped in your thumb, and you have access or not. So.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm with Ben. I don't know about that.
Oh, we have one of the guys.
Does anybody know where Root is? Hang on. Let me ping his chip.
Exactly. Yeah. Bing it, remember?
Yeah, let me bing his chip.
Bing his chip.
Bing it. One of our members, his entire house is controlled off of his implanted RFID chip in his thumb. So when he comes home, he touches his doorknob. That's what unlocks it. He can swipe his hand to turn on lights all around the house, different things. It's all controlled via RFID in his thumb.
I'd tell Siri to do it, or yeah, that's Alexa,
it'd be cool to have, say, Alexa, turn on the light, not, you know, wave my hand and it come on.
I mean, like, who secretly doesn't want to be a wizard? If I can wave my hand and it comes on, I can say any word, and technically it's a spell. Like, let's be honest here.
Problem is, sometimes you end up with strobe lights in the house, and it's just not a good thing.
All right, so I guess we've run a little long tonight. Does anybody have any last minute things they want to talk about before we wrap it up?
Just remember, man, it's the year of the Mammoth Hall of Fame tournament. That's all next week. I'm jumping ahead. I'm in the future. just remember, check out your local makerspaces. Don't be afraid. Go check them out. They're all friendly, and see what you can make. Check out Thingiverse, Thingiverse. Just type in Hearthstone. This is one thing I'm going to add, then we run out of here. This is very, very, very important when you get to Thingiverse. You will see a lot of really, really cool designs. If all you see, it looks like a blueprint, it is a blue design, and there's no pictures of anybody making it, that means it hasn't been made adequately, which means somebody just took a picture and converted it into a 3D design. And that may not print worth a darn on a 3D printer. So if there aren't any pictures of it made, usually just dash your hopes on it. Don't bother on that.
Yeah, there's an Arthas that I almost took to completion that I decided against because I read the comments and it was broken into multiple pieces, and I was like, well, I guess I could just make a Frostmourne, that'd be awesome. So
yeah,
that's kind of on the list. So.
Cool. Nice. So.
Awesome. Yeah, you guys seem to really know your stuff, and I think that we should pin the link to this episode in our Prizing Ideas channel in the Discord server, because I think that honestly you guys have shared so much information, even just from like the open make nights, kind of like just all that information. You guys, like, I really appreciate that, and so I think it's been really valuable, and thanks so much for sharing, and thank you, Ben, for coming back on the show. Are you leading the way in appearances?
No, you I'm like fifth or something. I mean, I think this is my
second. Is there a leaderboard now going somewhere?
I tallied it once. No. Yeah. WAPA or whatever has been Wayba. Was on the show back to Wayba. Sorry, it was on the show. WAPA. Yeah, it was on the show back to back weeks, and then of BlizzCon and then being the champions, and then a time before that, I believe.
Yeah, no one's lost three. Three is the.
Is three the number?
Yeah, it's the magic number right now. Yeah.
I think
which means we'll have to have Bites on again pretty soon.
There you go.
As a raven.
Yeah.
He said no in chat, but like I've planted the idea.
Planted the idea.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap us up this week. This was episode number 23, where we got to get an inside look at the makerspace and how they might can help us with ideas and bringing ideas for prizing to reality. Join us next week as we will dive a little more into today's announcement about the Year of the Raven. We'll talk about cards that are being moved to the Hall of Fame, and we'll try to get a little more information and talk about tournament mode a little more. All right. So, Ben, if people wanted to find you online to get some more great ideas from you, where could they find you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Ben Reddington, REDINGTON. I'm active in many Discords, from the Hearthstone Innkeepers to the Hero Power Discord to Dad Legend, and so on. So you can always find me at any of those locations.
Awesome. And O'Leary, how about you?
You can find me mostly on Twitter, where we have, just a quick segue, we have our talent announcement coming out tomorrow for HCT Toronto. I am so thrilled and excited to be able to share that with you guys. So anything HCT Toronto as well, you can find out through my Twitter at O'Leary, A-L-E-I-R-R-I. And I will be streaming. I know I said that last week. Next couple weeks are going to be crazy, but I really am going to get back to streaming. So you can find me at Twitch with the same handle. Root, my boy, where can people find you besides at the Makerspace?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can find me a lot here at the Makerspace these days. I love
where
it because I.
Where can people bing you? Is the question.
They can bing me. At Hearthcast Root on Twitter. I've got my Hearthcast show. It's this podcast I've known for about 9 years now. And let's see what else. Oh, Florida Fireside. Big shout out to my crew at Florida Fireside. We do all the major Fireside events here in the Orlando and Central Florida area. We got one coming up. Looks like it's going to be on St. Patrick's Day. So I sense a lot of theming going to be happening, a lot of 3D prints, like, I don't know, a Hearthstone lucky pots or something, pots of gold with Hearthstones on them. So yeah, you can find me at Florida Fireside on Twitters and on Facebook. And we got a Discord of this linked on our Twitter as well somewhere. So yeah, check us out there. And how about you, Mr. O'Leary? Mr. O'Leary. Oh, it's
there
late.
Is no Mr. O'Leary.
Mr. Avanti. Stop working. Let's start the rumor. No, kidding.
So you can find me on Twitter at Avanti's HS, or you can find me every Wednesday night on Twitch at twitch.tv/ECMMOGamers, where I am doing my podcast Hero Power. And tomorrow's going to be a busy night. A lot to talk about. That's what I told somebody on Twitter earlier, I'm going to have to start drinking my herbal tea or I will have no voice come Friday. So
I can't wait to hear the next edition of The Daring Reporter, because it's going to be, well, they talked about Year of the Raven, really? And then they talked about Year of the Raven, and then they talked about Year of the Raven.
Yeah,
and then they get to us and they'll go, they talked about Makerspaces.
Exactly.
And Year of the Raven.
Because Innkeeper is different. No, but yeah, you can find me there, or you can find me in most Hearthstone discords. I lurk in quite a few. So, all right. Don't forget, if you have not done so already and you would like to join the Innkeeper Discord, you can do that by going to bit.ly/HSNKeepers. And you can also visit hsnkeepers.com for all of your Fireside Gathering resource needs. There you can get Ben's coloring pages, or you can get all kinds of other great ideas for your events. You can also go to the official Blizzard resources.firesidegatherings.com. And as we close the show this week, we want to do as we do every week and thank you all for joining us, those of you in chat and those of you listening at home. And we'll see you all again next week.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Peace.
Peace, deuces.
Thanks for listening to the HS Innkeepers podcast. Legendary resources and more, go to hsinkeepers.com. Schwinghammer.